Hi, this is Sunday, May 7th, 2006, second episode of Blind Prophecy, the podcast, with your host, Tiresias. You know, I spent most of my adult life working in the queer press at local gay rags. I am the liberal media. I really have come to think of my hometown as the city by the pestilent sea. I mean, have you smelled the Great Salt Lake lately? I've had enough of these bitter barstool queens who do nothing but complain and bitch. I mean, have you smelled the Great Salt Lake lately? The night of drinking and drag your alcoholic ass down to your local community center to volunteer for a night. I'm becoming more and more convinced that I don't belong in Utah. I mean, I'll just never not be just proud to be gay. I'm also proud to be a feminist, an activist, environmentalist, a pagan, a Unitarian Universalist. Is there anything less attractive on a gay man than the Mormon temple garments? So why is it that the only guys who are interested in being gay by the church to let me are strippers and trolls? So what from a 28-year-old gay man still being his parent Universalist and an ex-Mormon? I am the liberal media. I'm sitting here today in the International Peace Gardens, one of my favorite places in Salt Lake City. It's a park dedicated to monuments from different countries to peace. There's everything from a mock-up of the Matterhorn in Sweden to a bust of Margaret Thatcher commemorating her visit to Utah in the 1980s. And it's really quite a cool place. There are little bits of architecture and gardens and art that reflect different nations of the world. And it's, like I said, one of my favorite places in Salt Lake. It's very peaceful. I always enjoy it and feel very relaxed here. Meanwhile, across the park, the Pride Softball League is having one of their games. The Pride Softball League is the local gay and lesbian softball league. And they seem to be having fun. I didn't see anybody I knew, so I didn't go hang out and watch or anything, but it always looks like fun, and they looked like they were having a good old time. So I promised that today I would talk a little bit more about Utah Pride and what specifically we have going on this year. As I mentioned in the last podcast, a lot of people have this mistaken impression of Utah as this backwards little hick place where it's all Republicans and Mormons. And as I said, Salt Lake City, that's really not the case. Salt Lake City is a much more metropolitan kind of atmosphere, open to a lot more diversity. And Pride reflects that. We have one of the, in my opinion, one of the best Prides in the western United States outside of the major metropolitan cities like L.A. and San Francisco and Seattle. We had about, it used to be estimated that there were about 50,000 people attending, but last year when we started charging an admission price at the gates, we got an accurate number for probably the first time and found that the number is actually between 15 and 20,000, which seems more realistic anyway and always seems to have been more realistic. I don't think 50,000 people would have fit in the space where we hold our festival. But, you know, people inflate the numbers to attract better sponsorship and whatnot, and I'm glad that we can put that to rest because I would rather be honest than lie to our sponsors and our community supporters. So anyway, our Pride celebration this year kicks off on June 1st, Thursday night, with a movie as part of our Damn These Hills Film Festival, which we do in cooperation with the Salt Lake Film Center. And the first movie we've got up this year is called Lover Other. It's about two lesbian half-sisters and lovers who are resisting the Nazi occupation on the island of Jersey back in World War II, and they're artists. And it's a documentary piece, and I haven't seen this one yet. This is the only one of our films that I didn't get to see a screener of, but I'm told it's really, really cool. That's on Thursday, June 1st at, I believe, 7:30 p.m. at the Broadway Theater in Salt Lake City. And all of our films with the Damn These Hills Film Festival are free and open to the public, first come, first served. Then we continue our Pride celebration on Friday with the Grand Marshal Reception. The Grand Marshal Reception is the annual awards banquet we do in connection with Pride, where we honor our Grand Marshal for the year as well as other community award winners. This year, the Grand Marshal is Dr. Boyer Jarvis, PhD, a communications professor from the University of Utah, who is a self-proclaimed recovering homophobe. He has been a very outspoken ally of gay rights in the press and in the community for a long time now. And so it's great for us to be able to honor him and recognize the work that he's done. I first became aware of him when I read an editorial by him talking about how he was a recovering homophobe in the Salt Lake Tribune, the local paper. And I've since seen more editorials by him in other mediums, including more in the Tribune. So he's our Grand Marshal. The Kristen Reese Award, probably one of our most prestigious awards this year, is being given to Representative Jackie Biskupski, the first openly gay elected official in the state of Utah. She was she's a lesbian who was elected as representative, and she has been an outspoken ally and has opened doors for other gay and lesbian elected officials. We have the mayor of Big Water, Utah, is also gay, as is State Senator Scott McCoy. So there are, you know, more and more gay and lesbian people becoming involved in the political process as candidates each election cycle. And we, in fact, had our first transgender candidate running for political office just a couple weeks ago. And I think all of that is thanks to Jackie Biskupski showing that even in Utah, you can be an elected official and be openly gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. And the Kristen Reese Award is named for Dr. Kristen Reese, who was one of the earliest people in Utah to really embrace and help around the problem of AIDS. And, you know, it was named forever in her honor as thanks for the good she did for the community and around the subject of AIDS, helping dispel myths and provide medical service to people who a lot of people were quite frankly afraid to treat back in the time. Our next award is the Pete Suozzo Political Action Award, named after the late Senator Pete Suozzo, who was the first person to try and pass an effective hate crimes bill in the Utah legislature. Originally, the Utah legislature passed what they called a hate crimes bill, but really wasn't. It was ineffective and unenforceable, is what the attorney general called it. It basically said that, you know, a hate crime is anybody trying to impinge on someone else's constitutional rights. Well, you know, that sounds okay, but it was really useless as far as laws go. So in the past 10 years, they've been fighting to get a real hate crimes law passed that actually provides real penalty enhancements for crimes motivated by bias, crimes which target an entire community rather than just an individual. And this year, thanks to the tireless efforts of people like David Litvak and Karen Hill, Representative David Litvak and Senator Karen Hill, it finally passed. Not the greatest hate crimes law, in my opinion. It still does not list which groups qualify as target groups. And I'm concerned that a Georgia Supreme Court ruled a similar bill to be unconstitutionally vague when they tried to pass the same thing without the so-called laundry list of protected groups. But my understanding is that the Senate and the Republican leadership in Congress told Litvak and Hale and other proponents of the hate crime legislation that if they tried to pass something that said sexual orientation in it, they would just remove sexual orientation, pass it into law, and then be done with it. And we would never get a hate crime bill that actually covered crimes based on bias against sexual orientation. So I think, you know, the compromise is all right, but I don't know that it's going to be as effective as people are hoping it would be. Regardless, David Litvak and Karen Hale are our Pete Suozzo Award winners this year because, you know, they finally passed a bill. And it's in honor of Pete's legacy, which, you know, began with the hate crime legislation. So they felt it was appropriate to honor those two who finally got a bill passed into law. We also have our Volunteer of the Year Award, which this year is going to Evelyn Garlington, who is the past president of the Board of Directors at the Center. I had the privilege of knowing Evelyn right when she first became the president of the board. She was vice president when I first met her, and we were at a function, a kind of meet and greet at the center, and I was just brand new to town, And I came in and started talking with her, and I'd mentioned that I had experience working on boards for Southern Nevada Association of Pride, Inc., and had worked at the Gay and Lesbian Community Center in Las Vegas. And I started throwing ideas at her, and she was very impressed and basically told me right then and there that I had to join the board. And I did. I spent a year on the board of the Gay and Lesbian Community Center and as a volunteer for Pride. And this year, because I'm a contracted employee for Pride, I left the board in February. Evelyn retired shortly thereafter. And she's just been an amazing driving force for the center. When I first met her, the center was in basically a terrible financial crisis. There was maybe enough money to keep the doors open for 3 more months. And I can almost single-handedly attribute the survival of the center to Evelyn, with, of course, help from the staff and the rest of the board. She wouldn't want to take all the credit herself, but she was a driving force in keeping it alive and keeping it open. So she is our Community Volunteer of the Year. Our Community Organization of the Year, our next award, is going to the radio station KRCL. KRCL is a local public access talk and music station, and they have been pioneers as far as the gay and lesbian community is concerned. They started one of the first talk shows dedicated to gay and lesbian issues back, I think it was in the late 70s or very early 80s, one of the first ones in the nation. They weren't the first, but they were among the first. And they've always been very supportive of our community. And Troy Williams, who is one of their producers, is now running a brand new show called Now Queer This. And it's a fun show, and Troy is hilarious. Troy is also the MC of our political stage at the festival. So KRCL has just been one of those organizations that's really always been there for the gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender community, and we're pleased to be honoring them this year. Then we have our final award, which is the Youth Grand Marshal. We choose somebody 19 years or younger each year who kind of exemplifies the future, or even really the president of our leadership in the state for GLBT youth. This year, the award is going to Keisha Medford, a courageous young woman who fought the unbelievable amount of prejudice and bias in Utah County at Provo High School to start Provo High's first gay-straight alliance this last year. If you don't know anything, when I said earlier that Salt Lake is not as backwards and conservative as people seem to think, Provo is as conservative and as Mormon and as Republican as people think. It is we call it Happy Valley sometimes. It's a place where everybody, almost like cookie cutter Stepford Wives, everybody is Mormon. There's very little dissent, and especially true among elected officials and school boards and even teachers in high schools. So it's really quite astounding that Keisha was able to, with the help of other students at Provo High, fight the system and get them to let her start up a GSA. So those are our award winners at the Grand Marshal Reception, which is going to be held at Memorial House in Memory Grove Park, which is this lovely park near the state capitol that has memorials to war heroes throughout and people from Utah who fought and died in wars throughout the history of the nation. And it's a lovely place. I enjoy hanging out there from time to time. It's also kind of known as a cruising spot for people who engage in that sort of thing. I don't, at least not here, not in Utah. But I've been told that it's a well-known cruising spot. That's not why we chose it, though. We chose it because it's beautiful, Memorial House is an impressive facility to hold our reception at. And that's going to be from 6 to 9 on Friday, June 2nd. And tickets for that are $30. You have to RSVP, or we're asking people to RSVP anyway, by contacting us at the center. And I think it's going to be a great reception. We've got amazing committee members working on that and helping to make it all go well. After the Grand Marshal reception, at 10 o'clock that night, we're going to be showing a movie called Say Uncle, which is a movie written and directed and starring Peter Page from Queer as Folk. He played Emmett, the really flamboyantly gay guy, for those of you who don't remember. And as I said, he wrote and directed and starred in this movie, and it also has Kathy Najimy in there. And the story centers around a young gay artist played by Paige, who his godson has moved away with his family to Japan, and he is desperately trying to reconnect with children. Children are a very important part in his life, and he, you know, is going to parks to hang out with kids and takes jobs at like the toy store and stuff like that. And of course, this leads to some concern in the community. They begin to suspect that he's a pedophile. And Kathy Najimy plays a character who is a suburban housewife and mother who kind of takes up the charge of calling Paige's character a pedophile and trying to get people to do something about it, to stop him from coming to the parks and being around their children. So that's, like I said, at 10 o'clock at Broovies. Now, Broovies is a local gay and lesbian movie theater, it's not a local gay and lesbian movie theater. It's a local movie theater, which also has a liquor license, so they do serve alcohol, so that screening is only open to guests 21 and over, but it is still free. You have to pay for your own beer, but, you know, the screening itself is free and first come, first serve, and I think it's going to be really phenomenal. It's a great movie, lots of fun. Makes you a little bit uncomfortable as you watch it, but it's still hilarious. It's kind of a dark comedy. So Saturday, June 3rd, is another busy day in the Utah Pride celebration. This year, we begin our day with the Pride Interfaith Service. The Pride Interfaith Service is something that actually started kind of independently of the Utah Pride Association about 7 years ago. It was a coalition of religious leaders from tolerant and accepting and welcoming congregations in the Salt Lake Valley. And it blended these different traditions together to provide a service that fully celebrated the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community for Pride. And this year, last year was the first year that they were officially kind of sanctioned by and involved with Utah Pride. And this year we've extended that relationship a little bit more. And so I've been working with the committee, and they're really an amazing group of people. We have Mormons, we have Baptists. That's American Baptist, not Southern Baptist, in case there was any confusion. We have Episcopals, United Church of Christ. We have Hindus and pagans and Buddhists and Native American spirituality. And we tried to make sure we keep the Jewish community involved, even though it happens on a Saturday, which is their Sabbath, and, you know, therefore difficult to keep them involved. And I think next year we're going to see the interfaith service happen on another day when it wouldn't conflict with the Jewish Sabbath. So, you know, this is a great service. I believe that, I don't know if this is finalized yet, but I believe that Reverend Tom Goldsmith from one of the local Unitarian Universalist churches will be, not the one that I go to, but he's the pastor at the First Unitarian Universalist, and he's going to be the keynote speaker of the service. And let's see, that's going to be on Saturday, June 3rd, and for the first time this year, the Pride Interfaith Service is actually going to happen at our festival site. Usually it drifts around from different church to different church space or sacred space, and this year I approached the committee with the idea that they could hold it actually in the festival grounds, and they liked the idea. We batted around terms like tent revival and things like that. And they like the idea, so they will be holding it this year in Washington Library Square, actually on Library Square, at 3 p.m. on Saturday. So, and that, again, is free and open to anybody who wants to come. Even if you're not a religious or spiritual person, it's still rather uplifting, and there's room even for the humanists and atheists, I think, at the Pride Interfaith Service. Following the Pride Interfaith Service, we've got two things happening at the same time, and we did this quite intentionally. At 5 p.m., we're showing the last film in our Damn These Heels Film Festival, and that'll be screening at the Broadway Theater, and that one's called Boy Culture. This one is by the director who did Eating Out, Q. Allen Bracca, and it's the story of a male escort who we only ever learn identify him by the name X because he wants to be anonymous. So it's the story of him and his tangled relationship with his two roommates and an older enigmatic kind of client. Very hot movie, very very sexy guys, and the story is great. I had a blast watching this movie. I'd watch it over and over again. Very much in the style, I guess, of Eating Out. Comedy with a romantic comedy with a lot of hot guys and a lot of fun jokes. In fact, if you saw Eating Out, the girl who plays the fag hag, the girl who it keeps turning guys gay, she's in this movie as well as kind of a bitchy waitress. It's not a big role, but she's in there, and she's just as fun in this movie. So that's going to be at 5 o'clock at the Broadway Theater, and we are calling that our penis-friendly event, because at the same time, at 6 o'clock, we have our vagina-friendly event, the Dyke March. The Dyke March is put on by SWERV, a local community organization for women, social organization. That takes place basically from around the Capitol, which is where City Creek Park is located, to it's a march that comes right down State Street, which is one of our busiest downtown streets. And, it's a kind of political statement. It's a rally. It's everything that you expect from the term Dyke March. And it's open to anybody who either identifies as lesbian or bisexual or a transgender, male to female, or really anybody who wants to be there. Of course, men are welcome as well. They wish to participate or just show their support for their sisters in the cause. So that's a great march, very political, very socially aware kind of a event, probably our most political event, although we're trying to get away from calling it that because there are people who get turned off by the idea of calling it a political event. It's not. It's also a social event. It's also just fun. But there is a definite political message behind it. So the Dyke March begins at 6 at City Creek Park. They'll actually gather in City Creek Park and have the little rally, and then they'll leave the park about 6:45 to march down State Street. And at about the time that the movie is ending and the Dyke March arrives at our festival grounds, we open up the gates at 7 p.m. to our Pride Dance. The Pride Dance is a big outdoor dance party the night before the parade and festival happens on our festival grounds. This year we're bringing in for the second, or maybe in third, I don't know. We're bringing in again DJ Claudette out of San Francisco, sexy DJ Claudette. She's a lot of fun. She's a very funny comedian and plays some great music. So she'll be spinning the tunes for our Pride Dance. And that's free, of course, as with most of our events. That takes place from 7 to 10 p.m. in the park. We have music pumping. And what's special to me about the dance is it's one of the few times that you and your partner of the same gender or even of the opposite gender, really, can just go out and dance on a very public space out in the open and be surrounded by other people who are doing the same thing and not be ashamed or worried about it, because it's an atmosphere where that sort of thing is expected and welcomed. And we don't have a lot of problem with protesters or anything like that at the Pride Dance, so it's a great time to just kind of come out and be yourself. So all of that happens, the Interfaith Service, the Dyke March, the movie, and the dance all happen on Saturday, June 3rd. And on June 4th, it's really the big day, our capstone day for the Pride celebration. On the morning of the 4th at 10 a.m., we have our Pride Parade right through downtown Salt Lake. And we have a route that takes us through a very prominent commercial corridor of downtown, and both begins and ends pretty close to the fairgrounds, the festival grounds. So it's a lot of fun. We know that it's the second largest parade in the state of Utah, second only to the Days of 47 parade, which celebrates the Mormon pioneer heritage of our state. It's nice to be able to say that the second largest thing in this community that has a big parade celebration is the gay and lesbian community. It's first the Mormons, then the gays and lesbians. So this year we have dozens of parade entries ranging from like parents and gay and lesbian families to church groups, GLBT youth groups, bars, of course, social organizations. One of the most popular parade contingents every year is QUAC. It stands for the Queer Utah Aquatic Club. It's a sports organization dedicated to swimming and water sports, not the gross kind of water sports that you hear about on the internet, but water sports, as in like swimming and water polo and things like that. And they always march in their Speedos and do a little choreographed routine. And so, of course, very popular with the crowd and very popular with the parade organizers and festival organizers. And I should say that the parade is in part produced by our community partner, the Utah Bear Alliance. The Utah Bear Alliance has stepped up to the plate and really provided the manpower and the support to get the parade going. We would not be able to do the parade without their assistance. So that's at 10 o'clock, and the parade usually lasts a little over an hour, around an hour and 15 minutes or so, which is perfect timing because our festival kicks off at 11 o'clock. And our festival, once again, on Sunday, June 4th, from 11 to 6 p.m. And it's we do charge for the festival. It's a $5 ticket price, which is still way cheaper than you're going to find at most Pride festivals in the region. It's certainly a lot cheaper than Las Vegas Pride was when I worked on that. So it's still a bargain, if you ask me. But this is the second year we've charged an admission to Pride. And it was kind of controversial last year. I think this year there will be less controversy. People are used to it and understand that we need to charge a cover if we're going to operate in the black. And last year was the first year we ever operated in the black. Well, not ever, but first year in many, many years that we operated in the black and made a very, very small profit. I think when all was said and done, we had about $10,000 more than we spent, which when you consider that the budget was almost $200,000, that's a really minimal profit margin. So the festival is one of our biggest events of the year. It's the biggest queer-themed event in Utah, and it's been consistently voted by readers in local gay magazines as the best party of the year. So we take a lot of we take it very seriously in making sure that it's going to be a good festival that everybody can enjoy. We have, Utah has kind of an unusual Pride Festival, if you ask me. I've been to a lot of different Pride Festivals, and some of them are very focused on the party, some of them are very focused on the entertainment, some of them are very focused on the vendors. Well, Utah, I think, more than any other Pride Festival I've been to, is very focused on the community, very focused on a political and social kind of statement being made. And part of that is just the sheer number of people who are there. It, you know, sends a message when you've got 15,000 people there that, you know, we're not a minor community. And our vendors tend to be a lot of, we have a lot of, vendors and exhibitors tend to be a lot of community organizations who are out to recruit new members and really showcase the opportunities out there for GLBT people in the state of Utah, from the sports groups to the social groups to political groups, you name it, we've got representatives doing exhibits there. We also, of course, you know, we don't skimp on the entertainment any more than we have to. We have three stages that go on during the festival. One is our festival stage, which has a lot of primarily out-of-town acts, a few local ones as well, but that plays mostly bigger bands. This year we're headlining with Sarah Bettens of K's Choice, formerly of K's Choice. We also have a number of out-of-town artists like Levi Kreis and the John Ashfield Band and others that, you know, really, it's going to be a fun lineup. It's a very diverse kind of sound. We also have some locals like the popular Sister Wives is a popular local band, and then we kick off the day with Salsa Brava, a salsa Hispanic-influenced Latin music kind of band. So they're lots of fun. Then we have our celebration stage, which used to be called the acoustic stage. The celebration stage this year features primarily smaller acts. A lot of locals, although we do have a few out-of-towners as well on that stage. And it's more about a smaller sound. No less fun, no less danceable, but really a smaller sound focused more on singer-songwriters than on, say, large bands and rock music. So that's a lot of fun. And then we have our political stage, which I don't know if that technically qualifies as entertainment, but our political stage is where we devote time to discussing the political issues. This year we are bringing in some nationally known names to speak on our political stage. In the past it's been very local politics driven, but this year we've decided we're going to bring in some very nationally recognized names like Patrick Guerrero from the national president of the Log Cabin Republicans. Then we have Francine Ramsey from the Zuma Institute, which deals with gay and lesbian issues and the black community. We have speakers from National Center for Lesbian Rights, Lambda Legal, and then, of course, we do keep time available for local political candidates who are running for office in 2006. In addition to our three stages, the acoustic festival and political stage, we also have a dance tent this year. The dance tent will be featuring DJs from as many of the local clubs and bars as we could get to participate, and they'll each be spinning sets of music that is popular at their individual club or establishment. And that's going to be going throughout the afternoon, and that'll be a lot of fun. It's right near our youth zone, which is something we're trying to do this year that will really incorporate a lot of games and activities for teenagers, people 13 to 20 who can't necessarily participate in, you know, the alcoholic portions of the festivities, but aren't so young as to want to be in kind of a kids area. We do have a kids area. We call it the Children's Garden, and that's going to be an area for people 12 and younger and their families. It's not a daycare, but you know, as long as parents are with them, you know, kids are welcome to hang out there all day long. We'll have fun games like face painting and reading books, and we'll do a children's parade a couple times throughout the day where kids will get to dress up in costumes and paint their face and do their own little mini pride parade. We also, of course, have over 100 vendors and exhibitors at Pride, as I mentioned, showcasing the diversity of things, including food vendors. We'll have a couple different food vendors coming in, providing different types of cuisine, from American barbecue to Thai food. It's, you know, always plenty of good food to eat, good things to try when you're at the festival. And, you know, the festival is just going to be a blast. It's always lots of fun. There are tons and tons of people there, and, you know, there's the social aspects, the political aspects, getting to know one another, getting to meet up with old friends, and that's always lots and lots of fun. So the last thing I should talk about is brand new this year. This year we have teamed up with the Tooth & Nail Theater Company to present as part of Pride Project Fabulosity. Project Fabulosity is a theatrical performance that will be running from June 2nd through June 11th at the Rose Wagner Theater, and tickets are $10 to $12 and available on arttix.org, arttix.org. And this is a play where it's a project where they start about 3 months out, they get different youth. Youth who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or simply allied with the movement, and they start getting them to tell their stories, their life stories about living in Salt Lake as a GLBT or allied youth. And with the help of a local playwright, they pull these stories into a narrative, a play. And then the same young people who participated in drafting the stories will then take different roles and act out the stories in a dramatic performance. So this is the second year they've done that. Last year they did it on their own and only over the weekend of Pride, so nobody from the Pride Committee got to see it. This year they have teamed up with us and, you know, to make it officially a part of Pride. And they've extended an extra weekend, so you can go the weekend after Pride if you're just too busy during that weekend, as I know I'll be. So it's I heard really, really wonderful things about this last year, and I look forward to being able to see it this year. So that pretty much sums up most of what's exciting and going on with the Utah Pride Celebration 2006. Of course, one of the things that I love about Utah Pride is that it draws from so many nearby communities as well. People travel from Nevada, from Idaho, from Wyoming, from Colorado, really all over the region to attend our festival and our parade, especially if they're from a smaller town that doesn't have one of their own. So it's a fun and exciting time, and we're very proud of it. And, you know, I think this year is going to be one of the best ever. I don't just say that because I'm in charge, but because we've learned a lot of lessons as the years go by, and we learned a lot of lessons last year, and, you know, we keep making improvements, keep tweaking things until we're really happy with the way things are going. So I think this year we've tweaked and tweaked until we're, you know, just pretty much we've got everything to where we like it to be. We'll see how successful it is after the fact, but I have nothing but good feelings and good thoughts about it. Of course, you can find out about Utah Pride at www.utahpride.org, utahpride.org. That is our official website with all the details about everything from tickets to schedules and, you know, everything you might need to know and then some. You can get applications if you're a group looking to participate in the parade or simply want to, you know, find out what somebody has to go through to participate in the parade. So it's a lot of fun, and, you know, it's less than a month away, so I'm a little stressed out, but I think things are good, and it's going to be a great festival this year and great Pride celebration. So I would be remiss if I finished up this discussion of Utah Pride without mentioning all the wonderful people who work together to make this happen. I have a committee of about 20 volunteers who really start planning Pride months and months in advance. We had our first committee meeting back in October, and, you know, there have been people who've been consistently there every month, and now, you know, we meet weekly through the last final stretch before the festival. And these are people who take time out of their lives and their jobs, and they do it to make sure that we have a great Pride festival. I would miss somebody's name if I tried to name them all, but you can find that list on the Utah Pride website, and they're all wonderful people. I also have to thank my co-workers at the Gay and Lesbian Community Center of Utah, Valerie Larrabee, our executive director in particular, who has been a guiding force in, you know, my planning and helped me to cope with the problems and has really, you know, been nothing but supportive of me. I also have an intern, our Pride intern, Rob Henry, who is amazing. He has taken on the brunt of the kind of grunt work, I guess you could call it, database management and accepting all those applications for vendors and parade entries and getting them into our system. And he's also in charge of the youth zone this year, so he's, you know, in charge of that, and I think he's really putting a lot of work into making sure that it's great and will be fun and enjoyable for everyone who comes out and participates. And he just graduated this last weekend from the University of Utah with a bachelor in social work. So congratulations, Rob. I'm sorry I missed your party. But, you know, I'm so proud of him and so lucky to have found him because I didn't know him before he put in an application to be the intern. So very lucky to have him on our team this year. Then, of course, Jennifer and Nathan and Stan and BJ, the other employees at the center who, while I'm trying my best to minimize the impact of Pride on them, of course, you know, Pride is a huge deal and everybody gets sucked in to doing something on it. So, and they've been very gracious about it and very helpful, even just for batting around ideas or listening to me vent when things get frustrating. I also should thank our sponsors. We have a number of sponsors who really we couldn't do Pride without those sponsors. Our top-level sponsors are the Bastion Foundation, which is a local philanthropic organization founded by Bruce Bastion, one of the founders of WordPerfect. He donates quite a bit of money to the Gay and Lesbian Community Center and to Pride, and without his sponsorship, I'm not sure that we could afford to put on the festival. And we also have Bud Light as one of our major sponsors, in addition to many sponsors at varying levels, from the media sponsors to you know, in-kind sponsors and just a whole lot of people who really recognize the value of Pride and want to support it. And we are deeply appreciative of their support. And, of course, I couldn't forget all of the volunteers who show up for that week and help us out. A lot of people don't realize that Pride takes 350 volunteers to run well. That doesn't even include all the people who are manning booths for their own organizations and, you know, participating in the parade. Just the volunteer force that is directly working on keeping Pride running and making sure that the trash is off the ground and everything's set up and the banners are hung where they need to be. All those sorts of folks, you know, my hat's off to them. and particularly to Jesse and Megan, who are volunteer coordinators, who wrangle this task of getting 350-ish people to give up 2 hours of their day to help out with making, more than 2 hours sometimes, to just help out with making Pride a success. And along the same line as the volunteers is the board of directors at the Gay and Lesbian Community Center, who never really get to enjoy Pride, much like our committee members. They don't get to enjoy Pride as much as the rest of the people, because they're tied up doing things like counting money and helping to sell tickets and supervising things that are going on. So it's a thankless task often, and I just hope they all know how thankful we are to them. So I think that just about wraps it up for today. You can learn more about Utah Pride, of course, by visiting our website, www.utahpride.org. If you're interested in learning more about the blog is located at tiresias.blogspot.com. And my regular blog is located at tiresias.livejournal.com. You'll also find a link to my newly formed Frapper map at the blogspot address. So, and that's Tiresias, spelled tiresius.blogspot.com or .livejournal.com for more about me. If, this isn't narcissistic enough, and I want you to learn more about me, you can go to those spots. So thanks for listening, and thank you for bearing with me as I learn more about this audio technology and trying to get the sound levels right. I know that my last podcast had some really weird sound going on at times, and I'm trying to work out the kinks and learning the software, but bear with me, and I promise it'll get better over time. And thanks so much for listening. Drop me a comment at atp_tiresias@yahoo.com. That's ATP, as in all things philosophical, _tiresias@yahoo.com. Look forward to hearing from you. Let me know that you're out there and you're listening. And thanks so much. This is your host, Tiresias, for the Blind Prophecy Podcast, signing off, wishing you happy days full of pride.